Appreciate that special, and what a day that will be. I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles this morning to the book of Psalms, to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. It is great to be in God's house today. What a blessing to be able to come and worship together, and beautiful weather the Lord has given us, and we do have heavy hearts for all of the many prayer requests and things going on in people's lives, but what a joy to get to come together and worship today. And this morning we're going to begin a new series. If you saw in the bulletin already, the heavens declare the glory of God. And over the next several weeks, we're going to learn about some of those things that we can see in creation and see how God's creation declares His glory. And how that ought to change our lives. It ought to stir up our hearts to worship Him. It ought to bolster our faith as we look at the things that God has put His handprints on in all of creation, because He has created everything. It ought to bolster our faith as we learn about those things. And it ought to equip us to be better witnesses for Christ as we learn about these truths. And so Psalm 19 is where we're going to study today. And if you're able, let's stand together to honor the reading of God's Word this morning. Psalm 19, beginning at verse 1. The Word of God says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and His circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof." Our Heavenly Father, as we come before Your throne of grace today, thank You so much for revealing Yourself to us. Lord, You put the knowledge of Yourself in the heart of every man You have given life to. And Father, we know that You are there. Even those who claim they don't believe in You, deep down they know that You are there, because You have given us a creation. And we see Your glory and Your handiwork in the heavens around us. And Father, we know because of Your word, Lord, You have shown Yourself to us, and we pray that You would help us to know You and to be known by You and to make You known to this lost world around us. Lord, help me now, for I'm nothing without You. I pray that You would move through the preaching of Your word, that we would be moved to wonder and awe of Your majesty, and that You would get glory. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Psalm 19 begins with this: "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." And so the Bible's telling us that when you look into the heavens, when you look up in the sky, now, the heavens and the firmament can mean a couple of different things. We understand that when the Bible talks about the heavens, or when we talk about the heavens, we can mean different things. We could be talking about what we might call the first heaven, the atmosphere. That's where the birds and the clouds fly. We might be talking about the second heaven. That's beyond our atmosphere, which we would call the cosmos, where the sun and the moon and the stars live, where they fly in their circuits, where God has ordained for them to go. And by the way, God set their circuits. God gives them their path. He breathed them into existence. He tells them where to go, and He knows them all by name. That's awesome. And God, who created those things, He says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." And when we look up at the clouds, when you got up this morning and you saw the sunrise, or this evening when you see the sun going down and the clouds are just a beautiful painting in the sky, that declares the glory of God. It shows His handiwork. Tonight, when the sun goes down and you look up at the stars and you see the constellations, you see Orion's belt, and the planets are so bright right now. I mean, you can see Venus and you can see Jupiter, you can see Mars, you can see the different planets at night. And when you look at those things, it's God just putting himself, his design, his creativity, his power. He's putting it on display for us to look at and to be in awe of his power and his majesty. The heavens declare the glory of God. In other words, God says, when you look at the heavens, it speaks to you about the glory of God. Now, God is a spirit, and God's glory has been displayed for people to see at different times in Scripture. But we get to see an image, an idea, a glimpse of his glory when we look at the sun. I mean, you don't want to look directly at the sun, but when you look at the sun, when you see the moon, when you see the stars, it shows the glory of God. It gives us a glimpse into his handiwork. And our God is a wonderful creator. And he has given us a beautiful, beautiful creation to enjoy. And let me tell you this. As beautiful as creation is, friends, we live in a sin-cursed world. And we still see his beauty and his majesty, in spite of the curse of sin on everything. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. In other words, every day the sun comes up, every day the sun goes down, and from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, his name is to be praised. And every day his mercies are new. Every day his mercies are new, his grace is new. Every morning it rises like the sun, his mercy and his grace and his goodness to us. Man, I don't know about you, but I love it when you get up in the morning and the weather's been cooler these last couple of weeks in the mornings, and you go out early and the sun's coming up and the birds are singing and it's beautiful. And it reminds us that his mercy and his grace is new. And day after day after day after day after day, he's faithful. And his glory is unchanging. And his mercy is never ending. And every day we're reminded. Every night we're reminded. The heavens declare. We're talking about what happens in the atmosphere. We're talking about what happens in the stars. And I want to tell you, the other night we were driving, and anybody look at the storms the other night? I mean, the lightning was just on display. And every time I see a thunderstorm like that and the lightning just going, I am reminded of how awesome our God is. That the power in just one thunderstorm is just unimaginable, but it's nothing for God. He's got that sprinkled around the planet all the time. And we just see day after day, night after night. And what does it do? Look at it in verse 2. It uttereth speech. It's speaking to you. Listen, when the thunder booms, God's saying, I'm here, and I'm real, and I'm powerful. But when you look at the stars and you see them, and pretty soon, how many of you know the Big Dipper? You guys know that one? Yeah, Ursa Major is really what they call it, but we call it the Big Dipper. And then there's the Little Dipper, which most people think that that's something, but it's not. It's actually something different, but I won't get into that because I'm kind of a nerd when it comes to this stuff. But I love looking at the constellations. I love looking at the stars and realizing that those things are hundreds of trillions of billions of miles away. We're talking about hundreds and thousands of light years. I mean, God has created it and we get to see it, and it's just awesome. And it's speaking to you. It utters speech day after day, night after night. It's speaking to you. It uttereth speech. When you see those things, God is saying to you, I am here and I am real and I am powerful and I am awesome and I love you. It utters speech, and look at this. Night unto night showeth knowledge. I want you to understand this. I told you I kind of geek out a little bit when it comes to this astronomy and stuff because I think it's awesome. I've always kind of been a science nerd, and I'm not ashamed of that, because when you look at real science, it declares the glory of God. It shows knowledge. It gives you an understanding of God and who He is and how awesome He is. Let me give you just one example. The Bible says this. The Bible says that God has stretched out the heavens like a curtain. Some of you have glass doors, but how many of you have shower curtains at home? Okay? Or you have curtains on your window. When you open the windows, you fold it up. It kind of folds up like an accordion, right? And when you open it up and you spread it out, it just spreads out. Did you know that scientists since Einstein figured out that space is like fabric? That's how Einstein described space, like fabric. And he said it's like it's being stretched out. That's not surprising to me. Did you know that the Bible says that when all things are done and God is done judging all things, that Jesus Christ Himself is going to fold up the heavens like a garment? Cosmologists today, and all their theories about trying to figure out how the universe works, how the cosmos works, they say, we don't really know, but it looks like, how many of you know the Big Bang Theory? Anybody, put your hand up, please. I need to know. Big Bang Theory, it's nonsense. I'm not talking about the TV show. That's not good either. I'm talking about the Big Bang Theory, that nothing exploded into everything and that's where we all came from. I want you to understand something. God spoke it into existence. He did it in 6 literal days. That's what the Bible says. You say, you really believe that? Yeah, I really believe the Bible over anybody else. I really do. But God spoke it all into existence. They've been trying to figure out how it's going to happen because they said for years, it looks like it's expanding and that sooner or later it's going to expand so far it'll be like stretching a rubber band and it's going to just collapse back on itself. But now cosmologists have figured out that through studying space, that it looks like eventually the universe itself will fold up on itself. What did the Bible say? In Hebrews and Isaiah, the Bible says that He's going to fold it up like a garment. And by the way, the universe isn't going to do that to itself. The Word of God that created it is going to fold it up when He's done with it. Isn't that good? It gives knowledge when we study the universe. Verse 3. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. I want you to get this. The Bible's saying that you can't go anywhere on the planet where people don't understand this language. People say love is the universal language. I'm going to tell you, creation is the universal language. When God put creation out there, there's not a person anywhere on the planet who has ever lived that could look up at the sky, look up at the sun and the moon and the stars, to see the constellations, to see a mighty thunderstorm, and not know deep down in their heart that there is a God in heaven. That voice is in every language. That truth is spoken in every heart and mind. God has given us a knowledge of Himself in His creation. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth. Their line is, over and over in Scripture, the line is a line of measurement. You stretch out a line to figure something out. We were talking about our building plans and the new sanctuary we hope to build someday, Lord willing. And Brother Sean and I got out there with a really long tape measure and we measured it out. You know what we were doing? Putting out a line to measure. And when God puts the sun and the moon and the stars and all the things He does, He puts it around the whole earth. Their line goes everywhere. Listen, the sun is seen from everywhere on the planet. The moon and the stars are seen from everywhere on the planet. Everybody sees it. Everybody hears the voice of the creation declaring the glory of God. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. There is nothing hid from the heat thereof. You can take this a couple of different ways when you look at verses 5 and 6. I think it's this, from our perspective, when we look at the sun. It comes from the end of the heaven. The sun rises in the east and it sets in the... It comes up on one side, it has its beginning, it comes from the end of the heaven, it goes all the way around. And it has a circuit. By the way, it took a long time for us to figure out how the sun works. Right? But the sun has a circuit. We get this idea that it's just in the middle and it's just kind of there. Right? But actually, it's hurtling through space. Because we're spinning around inside the one of the in between the bands of the Milky Way galaxy. It has its place, it has its circuit, it has its path. And we see it day after day, day after day. It comes up and it goes down. There's nothing hid from the heat thereof. Of all the things in the sky that God could have chosen to talk about in Psalm 19, He chooses to talk about the sun. The sun is a massive, incredible ball of fierce heat. God had to put it 93 million miles away from us so that it could give us the heat we need without cooking us to death. If our orbit around the sun were altered by just a portion, a fraction of a degree, we would either be cooked to death or we would freeze to death. God has put our planet in exactly the right place. He tilted us exactly the right angle and spins us at exactly the right speed so that we all get the heat that we need without being burned to death. Isn't that awesome? And He did that with a sin-cursed world. The sun is 93 million miles away, and yet the heat, the light coming off of it, it gets here so fast, it takes 8 minutes for it to travel 93 million miles. 186,000 miles a second. It gets it. Isn't that awesome? God breathed that out. I love how God describes it. He creates the light because He's God. He created light before He created the sun and the moon. He gives us the sun and the moon, and then the Bible just simply says this, and the stars also. He made the stars also. Our sun is just one of 100 billion in the Milky Way galaxy. Estimated to be 100 billion. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time wrapping my mind around the idea of a billion, much less 100 billion. I want you to think about it with me for a second. I mean, most of us can barely keep up with the numbers in our checkbook. You know, that's just a few numbers and a couple of cents, right? Most of us don't have too many zeros to worry about in our checkbooks. But I want you to get this, because when you think about 1,000, I mean, you can kind of get an idea of 1,000, but 1,000, let me put it in terms of time so it'll give a perspective to the distance, okay? 1,000 seconds ago was 17 minutes ago. 1,000 seconds, 17 minutes. I give you an idea? So, okay, you got that? So, think about 1,000,000 seconds ago. You're like, okay, well, if 1,000 seconds is 17 minutes, then, okay, 1,000,000 seconds has got to be like what? It's 12 days. Do you see how it increases exponentially? 1,000,000,000 seconds ago. So 1,000,000 seconds is 12 days ago. So 1,000,000,000, think about that. It's 31.7 years ago. So I want you to get this in terms of miles. We think about 1,000 miles. You think you drive 1,000 miles in a day. That's a long ways. But imagine driving 1,000,000 miles. I mean, you go from minutes to days to now 31 years in 1,000,000,000 seconds. Check this out. 1,000,000,000,000 seconds. Anybody got a guess? 31 years ago would be 1,000,000,000 seconds ago. 1,000,000,000 seconds ago. 1,000,000,000 seconds ago. 31. How many? Who's 31 in here? Me, 31 years? Okay. Can you imagine? 1,000,000,000 seconds ago, he was born. So if that's a 1,000,000,000 seconds right there. Look at it. That's what it does. What about 1,000,000,000,000? A trillion seconds is 31,709.8 years ago. 31,000, that's how it increases. In a year, light travels 5.88 trillion miles. If you wanted to go from one side of the Milky Way galaxy to the other, it would take you 100,000 years. Nobody's wowed by that, okay? The Milky Way galaxy is just one galaxy out of 100 billion galaxies. It's nothing. And we live on this tiny little area called our solar system, which if you look at a composite picture of the Milky Way, you can't even see our solar system. You can't even see the sun. It's nothing. It's not even a speck of dust. And when you look at the galaxy, the known universe, our whole Milky Way galaxy just disappears. It's nothing. And yet right here, on this tiny little planet, God put human beings. And He created them in His own image. Out of all the glories in the universe, on this tiny little place, He puts human beings who rebelled against Him. And then He loved us so much, He became a man, suffered and died on a cross, and rose again so that rebellious human beings could have eternal life. We have an awesome Savior. When you look at the stars, the sun, the moon, the clouds, the storms, the birds flying, when you look at the heavens, when you look at the firmament, it is screaming to you the glory of God. It is plainly declaring and lining out for you the handiwork of God. Well, I was up at the hospital with Mom yesterday, and she was up on the fifth floor, and there's lots of windows at St. Francis. I gotta tell you, it was a beautiful day yesterday. Obviously, it's not good to be at the hospital, but man, it was a pretty day. And we were, she was laying in bed and looking at the clouds and, you know, seeing shapes in the clouds. Anybody do that? We're not the only ones. Okay, good. But man, yesterday was a good day for it. And just looking at the clouds go by, just beautiful handiwork of God. And when you see all of that, it ought to lead you to know that there is a God in heaven. It's the message of His creation that He is there. But I want you to get this. Look down at verse 7. Because if we just stop there, it's not nearly enough. The message of His creation lets us know that He's there. It declares His glory and His awesome handiwork. But that ought to lead us to something else, because when you figure out that there's a God in heaven who created everything, there ought to be something in you that says, I want to know that God and I want to serve that God. I don't want to live for myself. I want to live for the one who did all this. I want to serve Him. I want to know Him. And He makes Himself known in far greater detail through His Word. Check out the might, the power of His commandments. Verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Listen, the creation ought to bring you to the Scriptures, the commandments. when you see that there's a God in heaven, you ought to go, man, I want to know this God. And he ought to bring you to the Word of God, the Bible. You say, well, a lot of people believe in God. I mean, maybe that would lead them to the Quran, or maybe it would lead them to something else. But I want to tell you something, friends. There is no, they can call them sacred writings if they want to. They can call them holy books if they want to. But I want to tell you today, there is only one Word of God, and it's the Holy Bible. Nothing else compares. As a matter of fact, none of the others even claim to be God. This is the only book in the world that claims to be God and claims to be God's Word. It'll stand up to any scrutiny. It'll stand up to any test. And anybody tells you that there's contradictions in the Bible, that's because they don't understand the Bible. And when you come up against an apparent contradiction in your Bible, you ought to study it out, because you're going to find deep, great, awesome truths that actually won't tell you that the Bible's not true. It'll actually bolster your faith and show you how true it really is. I can't tell you how many times somebody brought something and I'm like, man, that seems like it's a contradiction. When you study it out, you go, wow, that's not a contradiction. That just shows me how much greater, it shows me in a greater way how true the Bible is. The law is perfect, converting the soul. James 1:25 says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The Bible is the perfect law of liberty. Now, the Torah, specifically speaking of the law of Moses, but it really encompasses all of Scripture. What God has given as his truth, it is the perfect law of liberty. And if you look at it and learn it and continue in it, God will bless you. James 1:21, back before that, he says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Continue in the Scriptures. The things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Listen to me. The message of creation is that there is a God and he has glory and he created everything. But if you want to really know God, if you want to know his salvation, you have to get in his word. Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's where the truth, we know it. And so the law is perfect, and it converts the soul. I love this word, converting the soul. It means to turn back. As people, we have rebelled against God. We've gone away. We've been like sheep that have gone astray. And the word of God, the commandments of God, you know what it does? It turns us back to God. It brings us to repentance. That word, converting, is also the idea of repenting. It turns us back to God. It brings us back to him, and that happens when you get in the Word of God, when you hear the preaching of the Word of God, and when you study the Word of God, it brings you back to God, because God's Word is perfect. The testimony is sure, and it makes wise the simple. Now, I don't want to tell you that you're simple-minded today, but all of us are simple. We don't understand, we don't know God, until we get in God's Word. And so the testimony of the Lord is the witness of the Word. And when you look in this Word, it witnesses and testifies of God and who he is and what he has done. And the more time you spend in the Bible, the more it witnesses of who God is and brings you to him, so that you won't be simple, but you'll be wise knowing him. Now, knowledge is good. Most of you think knowing things is good because you send your kids to school, you teach them. Most of you are going to send them to vocational school, or you're going to send them to college because you want them to have knowledge. People say knowledge is power. I want to tell you something, that knowledge is worthless unless knowledge is applied. Wisdom is knowledge applied. I want to tell you that the world's knowledge is good, and when you apply it, it can be helpful. But that's nothing compared to godly wisdom. When you know the Word of God and you do the Word of God, friends, that is godly biblical wisdom. And it's precious. More to be desired than treasure. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The statutes are precepts. These are principles. When you look in the Word of God, it gives you precepts. It gives you principles to live by, statutes to go by. That we know right from wrong. We know the right way to act in a situation. We know the right thing to do. And we know the wrong thing that we need to avoid doing. Those are the precepts, the statutes of God. And when you learn those things and apply them to your life, it rejoices your heart. It gives you joy to be obedient to the Word of God. You know why so many Christians are so sour-faced? No offense. It's hard to be happy when you're disobedient. Most of you have raised up kids. Man, don't you love it when it's good at home? I mean, when the kids get up and they don't fight with each other in the morning and everybody gets and has breakfast and nobody's, you know, throwing a fit or acting ugly or being mean. And you tell the kids to clean up their room and they just go clean up their room and do as they're told. Isn't that good? Some of you are like, I don't know. It sounds wonderful. I'm going to tell you, there's some days that my kids, they just get it together. They've got a good attitude, and they're obedient, and they're sweet about it. And I pray for that, and I preach that, because they need to obey immediately and sweetly. Amen. Yes, sir, do what you're told, and do it with a smile on your face. Isn't that good? And man, it's good when it's like that, because then they're happy, and then I'm happy, and then everybody's happy. But sometimes, children aren't obedient. Sometimes I come home and they haven't done what Mama said. And they haven't done what Mama said, and they certainly didn't do it with a smile, and there was much weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then Mama's not happy. And if Mama ain't happy, oh, so we can't quote the scriptures, but we got that one. That's good. If Mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And so then it's all bad, and there's no joy. Friends, that's the way it is in our Christian lives. When we look in the Word of God and we do what it says, it gives us joy, and it makes God happy. And He's happy, and I'm happy, and everybody's happy. We have joy and rejoicing. But boy, when we look in the Word of God and we don't do what it says, makes it hard to come to church and sing praise to God. Makes it hard to have a good attitude as you go through your day. It takes away your joy. And so the precepts of God, the statutes, rejoice the heart. They're right, friends. You may think your way's right, but you're wrong. God's way's right. And the world may think its way's right, but they're wrong. God's way is right. The testimony, the law, the statutes, the commandments, the mitzvah. The commandments of God are pure, enlightening the eyes. Friends, the Word of God, the commandments of God give understanding. His commandments are pure. When we look at the commandments, particularly the Ten Commandments, we see the character and nature of God, and we see how that we ought to love God and love our neighbor, and how everything's fulfilled in those two commandments. It gives us understanding. It lightens our eyes. Fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Friends, if you want to have a clean life, then fear God. And the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous. And I love what he says. Look at verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. God says that the ways of God, the judgments of God, his commandments, his statutes, his precepts, his ways are better than gold. Now, can you be honest with me for just a second? How many of you would like to have gold? Okay? I mean, if somebody comes in with a box like this, and it's really heavy because it's full of gold,
and says, here, you want this? I mean, who would say no? But there's different kinds of gold. Because the Bible says that all of these judgments of God are better than gold, but not just any gold, much gold. That sounds even better. I didn't want just a little box. I want a truckload. That's better. Maybe you're going to have to have a lot of trucks, because this isn't just any gold. It's a lot of it, and it's fine gold. Some of you know this stuff better than I do, but when you buy something gold, it has a carat number. Yeah, it's spelled with a K. Not that kind of carat. And what it's doing is telling you the purity of the gold. Fine gold is pure gold. And you'd be stupid today if you said, I don't want a whole bunch of fine gold. No offense. I'm just saying. When an ounce of gold is worth $1,300, somebody wants to give you a truckload of very fine gold, sign me up. But you know what's better? It's better. So if you'd be stupid to not want truckloads of fine gold, how much more idiotic are we to not want the Word of God? How foolish could we be to see the glory of God in His creation and to know that He's revealed Himself to us through His Word. He's made the way of salvation through His Word. He's made the way to know Him and to live for Him and to have joy in our lives through His Word. And we say, I'm too busy for it. I don't have time for it. I'd rather watch a movie. Friends, there's something wrong with us, because this is far better. It's better. And then He says it's sweeter than honey. And the honeycomb. I love honey. But I don't know that anything's sweeter than honey. I mean, physically. I mean, ever just take a big spoonful of it and just eat it? Yeah, it's good, but woo! It's sweet, isn't it? But God's Word's sweeter. And not just the honey, but the honeycomb. How have you ever had the joy of chewing on a real honeycomb? Praise the Lord. That's good stuff. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. Verse 11. And in keeping of them there is great reward. Friends, you want to be blessed by God, then get in the Word of God, because it will bless you and it will reward you and it will warn you against the danger to come. Get His commandments. So His creation ought to point us to His commandments, and His commandments ought to change our hearts. Very quickly, look at verse 12. Who can understand His errors? Who can understand His errors? Who can know where he's wrong before God without the Word of God? I had not known sin until the law showed me my sin. And so who can know his errors? And so when you look in the Word of God, the psalmist says, how can I know how messed up I am? And his answer, his response is, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The message of his creation brings us to the might of his commandments, which brings us to a metamorphosis. It brings us to a change of the contrite in heart. When we look in the Word of God, it ought to convict our hearts, and we ought to humble ourselves before God and say, cleanse me. Cleanse me. Friends, when you look in the Word of God, it's a mirror. James tells us, it's like looking in the mirror. It shows us who we really are, and it ought to bring us to a place that says, I want to get right with this God who created everything. I want to get right with the one who has all power. and all glory and all dominion. I want to ask you this morning, what's your response to the Word of God? What's your response going to be to the Word of God? I mean, when we look at His creation, we look into His Word of God, into His Word, it ought to bring us to a place where His judgments have warned us. So what's our response going to be? Cleanse thou me from secret sin. Keep back. Hold me back, Lord. Keep me away from presumptuous sins. And don't let them have dominion over me. The book of Romans tells us this. When you are born again, the Spirit of God lives inside of you. The old man is dead and you have new life in Jesus Christ. And sin has no more dominion over you. If you are continuing in sin, it's not God's fault. If you're continuing in sin, it's because you have willfully, presumptuously, pridefully chosen to go against the commandment of God. Because you know better. And the Spirit of God, His grace, has given you power over that sin. So friends, we are without excuse. In Romans 1, He tells us that the world is without excuse. Because the invisible things of Him are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, so that they are without excuse. The world is without excuse today to be atheist, to not believe in God, because He's declared Himself through His heavens. And the child of God today is without excuse to continue in sin, because He has made us free from the power of sin and the law, having nailed it to His cross. We can walk in newness of life, rejoicing because of who He is and what He's done for us. Let's stand together this morning if you're able. As our musicians come, we're going to sing a verse of invitation. This morning, as you consider God's majesty and all that He's done, I pray that it would bring you to a place to want to know Him and serve Him. If you've not been in His Word like you know you should be, I pray that you'll repent of that today. And that God would give us, may God give us a heart for His Word so that we can know Him and live for Him. If He's convicting your heart this morning, any decision you need to make, you come right now while we sing.
Page 531.
531.